Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Steve Butella for Land Academy here. Welcome to our Cash Flow from Land show. In this episode, Jill and I talk about the two ways anyone starts a company, from Wall Street to Main Street. Jill, this is a fun and informative topic for me. You start a company by the seat of your pants, which is kind of the Main Street way, or you start it by the book, the Wall Street way. So, let's see which one is right for you, listener. Well, before we do that, as always, let's take a question from a caller.
Thank you. Jessica from Washington called in and asked, I have a chance to buy a property really cheap, but I know it gets flooded from the river every year. Should I buy it?
No.
No. That's my answer,
wow,
too.
That's awesome. Let's get on to the topic.
Exactly. No.
So all seriousness, if property's flawed, this isn't, for us, we run into the access issue all the time. If property has absolutely no access in any way, I don't care what the price is. We've done shows and blogs on this topic. There's such a thing as you got to pass on it, even if it's free.
Mm-hmm.
So Jessica, do not buy property that flat out, is flawed.
Mm-hmm.
It's only going to come back to get you.
Mm-hmm. That's funny that you say that too, because there's a few areas and subdivisions that you and I know very, very well that we just don't buy. And I feel bad when people call in and I'll say, where is it? And they'll say it's XYZ. And I'll go, sorry, I can't help you. I'm just not interested. And they're like, really? And I'm like, no, I'm sorry.
That's a good point, Jill, because a lot of the subdivisions that are property areas that we've identified as properties just won't buy for any price. It's because we're just too busy and it's not worth our time. It doesn't mean they're not profitable. So we have this thing called Deal Board on successplant.com. For our pro members, they get to access that and throw deals up, and we throw deals up there. So while we don't just say, heck no, we're not going to buy it, seller, we say, we'll just throw it up on the deal board and someone's going to call you.
But the bad ones, we don't. We don't give those passwords on.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There are some. I don't buy every property. That's the point I was trying to make.
That's right.
But the ones that are still good properties, but gosh, it doesn't meet my, not what I'm looking for right now, but it's a rocking deal and it is a good property. Oh, yeah. We share that with our members. So
exactly.
They can do it. They can do the deal. So that's another point. So thank you.
Yeah. That's a very popular question. I can buy some property and with no access at all for $30, literally. Should I do it?
No. Yeah, why? What are you going to do with it? No one's going to want it.
I mean, so you can try it. You can.
No.
I know this from, well, hear me out on this. Okay. You and I know this from experience. It's just more hassle than it's worth. What you're doing is taking up time then on this property to do the maps and market it and the whole thing and put it in your system. And it's taking up time from you to actually return other phone calls from the mailer that you sent out for property that rocks.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real cost of that.
I have a problem too with, I'm not going to knowingly sell something that there's a defect or there's going to be a problem.
Me too.
Because that's the thing. You can't, in good conscience, you have to disclose what the problems are. And then no one's going to buy it. And then you've wasted everybody's time. So you don't want that. So move on.
Yeah, move on. Like we say, send out enough mailers and get into a system where your phone's constantly ringing with new acquisitions every day. Our phone rings every single day with at least, back me up or tell me I'm wrong here, Jill, four or five property, mm-hmm. property opportunities?
Exactly.
So of those opportunities, you want to get the deals done you're going to make the most money on.
Right.
So
I could have someone that's all they do, and now that I think about it, it's... Well, I kind of do, but almost just answer those calls and deal with all that. So there's a lot. Right. Now we spread it out.
Right.
Okay. So two ways to start a company, Stephen. Please share with us your wisdom.
How sad is that? People listen to my advice. You're exactly right. Wow. That just all hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm going to say a bunch of stuff like in the next 20 minutes and people are going to listen to it.
Oh, or they're going to turn it off right
so
now.
So Jill and I, like last week, we have this this social, well, it was professional, now social friend who's a college professor at a university here. And so sometimes we join him. He teaches an entrepreneurial class, and sometimes we join him in his class, and once in a while we just sub for him outright. So last week we subbed for him, and Jill and I went into the class, and I brought a little bobblehead of Heisenberg, you know, like Walter White from Breaking Bad. And all these kids were like, you know, and my whole point to this talk was Walter White created the perfect business, you know. And so aside from the fact that the product that he was selling, if you live under a rock and you've never seen Breaking Bad, then you just move on to another episode.
Mm-hmm.
So he started, Walter White started he was a drug dealer, a drug manufacturer. And so step by step, this whole series, I don't remember which channel it was on, which network, showed us how to manufacture and distribute illegal narcotics. And he was a perfect business model, except for the fact that his product was illegal.
Illegal, yeah.
So there's a lot you can learn from something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my point is Jill and I teach this class, and I never thought that we should not, maybe we're not qualified to teach it. That never crossed my mind.
Well, because we are qualified, because we've been there and done that. You know, I argue, seriously, I would argue that we are more qualified than someone that knows the textbook forward and backwards and inside out and can tell you all, you know, what it should be versus someone who's done it.
That's exactly how we teach the class. The first thing I say is, you know, 90% of the stuff that you learn in college is silly.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff that you're going to learn in the next hour and a half is like reality based. And, you know, I'm telling you, this is how it really is.
Mm-hmm.
You might not like it, and you're not going to be tested on it, but this is how it really works.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is how this works. There's exactly two ways to start companies. From any level, I don't care if you're buying a piece of property for $500 and selling it for $3,000, or if you're starting an operating system like Microsoft or like Windows. You have two choices. You can work on it, keep your regular job and work on it on Sunday, and piece by piece and parcel by parcel, or step by step, build a company by the seat of your pants where it's all taped together and it's a god-awful mess. But you love your customers and your customers love you, and you make them feel special, and you charge the right price, and you make mistakes along the way. And at some point, you decide to make it a full-time gig. That's one way. The tape together method is what I call it. And that's every company I've ever started is I've used that method.
Mm-hmm.
The Wall Street way is to get a fund involved, raise some capital, get some investors, get some experts. This is the Steve Jobs Apple computer way. Steve Jobs says to himself, I have a ton of talent, and I have a vision, and I love going to meetings, and I'm going to surround myself by tech people and raise some capital and raise more capital when I need it and take my company public when I need it. You know, and in the end, that worked out great for him. But, you know, it's there's a lot of responsibility to that. And unless you have a very specific, incredible talent, I think that the way that Jill and I do it, the tape together way, is better. So you got the tape together way, and I call the other one the Wall Street way.
Mm-hmm. What I like about our tape together way is we own everything along the way. There's no big debt, or I'm not owing anybody, or there's investors that I have to answer to.
Yeah.
The Wall Street way, they're looking to me going, hey, you promised this. You brought me this rockin' business plan.
Exactly.
So I gave you $1 million.
Yeah, and I'm 50% of your company. It's the Shark Tank way.
Right, I'm expecting this out of it. I'm like, oh.
I own you.
Right.
So yeah, I'd rather screw something up for 10 years, but it's all mine.
Right.
Versus, you know, having somebody own me and tell me what to do after a while and micromanage everything I did.
Gary, I'm with you.
That's why I left my job in the first place, because I don't want someone to tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it's replacing a job for a job. Long time ago, you can see my resume on LinkedIn. I was involved as a partner in a healthcare company that we took public on a stock exchange. And I was very young. And what I learned from that is to never do that.
Hey, how did you feel at the time? I got to ask you, how did you feel at the time? You were what, early 30s?
Oh, no.
Really?
I was like 24 years old.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's scary. So you're walking around. Talk about a big head. I can just imagine. Weren't you like walking around going, I just took a company public and I'm 25 or something?
I didn't have time to think.
Really?
About anything like that. And the answer is categorically no. I mean,
okay.
I guess if you talk to people that did me back then, they might say, you know, that guy's arrogant. I doubt it. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I doubt it.
I'm just curious. I mean, didn't you like go, wow, I killed it. Like, look what I just did. And I'm not even 30.
You know what? I'm so glad you asked that. The answer is no, because all I thought about during that time was I want to be a private investor. I want to own my own company, have my own money, and privately invest in the stuff that I want. And that's it. And maybe have a partner like you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got what I wanted.
Right.
You know, it was so between like the early 90s and 1999-ish or 2000, I actually realized that. I mean, I made it a realization. So no, I wasn't sitting around saying, this is great, I've arrived.
Mm-hmm.
I've never said that. Not even now. That's a character flaw.
That's very interesting. You know what? I think that was such a good thing to share, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there in your shoes that have, they might be in their early 20s and they're trying to make that decision, you know, which path I want to go. Do I want to do A, you know, like you just did? Because it's from the outside looking in, it seems really glamorous and cool. And look at all you have and all of that. Seriously.
I know you're right.
But, you know, it really does. But in the end, there's a lot that you give up to have that. And is it the stress and the hours and the – well, this is back when you told me, too. When would it happen? You were telling me stories about, you know, you had so much fun / however, you worked so many hours, there was nothing in your fridge. You just unplugged it. Didn't even make sense. It's like basically your apartment was a place to shower, change your clothes, and leave.
I had a one-bedroom apartment with no TV. There's nothing in the refrigerator. In fact, I unplugged it and opened the door. It didn't look like anybody lived there. I had no furniture, like a futon or something. And it was not because of lack of money. It was just, you know, everybody should go through this. And, you know, yeah, we were not. That's what my life was like. We were out of town a lot because we had healthcare facilities all over the place. We were flying all over the country constantly. So, no, I didn't hate it. That was actually a good experience. I like that job, and I love the people that I worked with. I'm still friends with a lot of them now.
Mm-hmm.
But I never knew. I always knew I didn't want that.
So that's what's interesting. It looks real glamorous again, the traveling all around, but versus, gosh, just having the security and this.
I have to tell a funny story.
Oh, tell me.
So Jill and I, we have some full-time people on tech staff now for the first time ever. So I have like a decade list of tech projects that I've never subbed out or sent to VAs or whatever. And so this guy, one of the things was, I want you to put up a website for, you know, JillDeWitt.com, and put up a website for my website, StephenButella.com. So the kid does it. And so we've been working with this kid for a while. And so he puts up our whole resume and our, you know, and he never knew what our resume is. We only just saw his. And he looks at me a few days ago and says, you actually, like, you're the real deal. You have some real experience. You've like had really real jobs with big companies and accounting. And it just cracked me up, man, because I'm like, he thinks I'm a ding dong walking around the office who should never own anything.
That's funny. Doesn't realize all that went into all this.
There's another funny story. I had a person a lot of years ago, this woman who worked for me, come up to me and walk up to me. This is when we had a ton of employees, and say, what is it about you that you get to do all this? You know, and what she was really saying is, you and I are no different at all. What the heck is it about you? What's different about you that you get to do all this?
I get it.
You know what my answer was to her?
What?
Data.
And really?
I close the door. Close the office door.
Wow.
And that is the answer. That's the difference between me and everybody else.
It wasn't your dashing data. Good looks and
no,
your...
Geez.
Just kidding.
Jeez, Jill. Look, trust me. You're the one in the family now with the looks.
Thanks. Now...
I mean, I might have been okay back then, but it's a taped together mess now.
Just speaking of a taped together mess.
That's a good parlay. Jeez, how did this whole podcast become about me?
Because it was
like
good.
My resume and my looks and stuff.
No, because it's really informative for people to think about, you know, what path you want to go when you're setting out, you know? And I know, because I talk to a lot of these people when they're just getting into our programs, that's what you just described, which is what we do now, is what they want. And they know it. Hey, kudos for them. I didn't figure it out at 25.
So what is it that they want? Freedom, money,
yeah.
Be the decision maker. What else?
Freedom. A lot of it's freedom. A lot of it is just knowing everything's taken care of, not struggling, not maybe worrying. I think, and now in this day and age, back when I was 20, I never worried about my company going under. Nowadays, you got to think about that stuff. What would I do if my company goes under? Mm-hmm. What would happen if I got laid off tomorrow? That wasn't such a big thing when I was that age. I never thought about it. But nowadays, it happens so much in the last few years. People really think about that. So a lot of it's the security. I hear a lot of people just saying, if I could just get away to have, you know, $5,000 coming in a month that I don't have to think about, I can breathe. And it's not even that they want to necessarily quit their day job. They may enjoy their day job, but they want that fallback, you know, and I get it.
I just talked to a guy like a week ago, and he said that he said this sentence, I just need $1,500 a month.
Oh.
That covers my mortgage. And I don't know what else he said, like two other things. And he said, that's it. Then I would just be done. I don't want an empire. I don't want to be debt free. That's what I want. And I said, man, you come to the right place.
Yes.
So, and he's involved in our whole thing now.
Good.
So, yeah. You know, that gets overlooked. You know what we should do? It just dawned on me. We should do a show, Jill. We never talk about this. And maybe you're going to kick me under the desk. Uh-oh. About how to structure your, what to do with personal finances and how that is, I don't want to get all Dave Ramsey on this, but how it coincides with starting a business or starting a real estate business and the decisions that everybody thinks that more money is going to solve a lot of their angst. And I agree with that. I do. It does solve it. But having no bills solves a lot of angst too.
Yes.
You know, and I don't think a lot of people look at both sides of that.
You're right. You just because your income keeps up with your spending doesn't necessarily mean that's the best plan.
You know, and a lot of tax people will argue with you about that. And there's all these tax consequences of not having a mortgage. But the truth is this. If you have no cash going out every month and cash coming in, you're going to feel pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Jill and I, full disclosure, have not $1 of debt, not a dollar, not mortgage debt,
not cars,
we don't pay rent,
no credit cards.
I mean, we pay the stuff you can never get out of. We've gotten it to zero.
Yeah,
we pay insurance.
Yeah,
and you know,
cell phones
and communication,
yeah,
which
and
a lot of that
stuff, our business stuff,
all that stuff. A lot of that stuff comes through the business. So, do we really pay it? Not really. We should do this.
We don't own this office building, which is new to you.
Yeah, that's another story. I didn't have the best luck with owning office buildings. It's not my niche, let's say. No, and all kidding aside, how to structure this whole thing, I think it might be an interesting topic.
Uh-huh.
I don't think we'll sell a damn thing, but what the heck? It'd be fun.
I think it'd be a great... Hey, you got my attention. I would love to talk about that.
So... two ways to start up a company, the Wall Street way and the Tape Together way. Go for the Tape Together way. I read an article in a magazine called Fast Company, and I'm not a big magazine person, but I love Fast Company. Mm-hmm. You got this ship, Christian, for me. And they said, if you ever want to fail at starting a company up, raise capital because it changes your mind. Oh, now I have a salary.
Oh.
I don't have to hustle anymore. All my bills are paid. You know, you don't want that. You want to be you want to be borrowing someone's toothpaste. I've been in that situation before. I can't afford toothpaste.
What?
I'm borrowing toothpaste from someone.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how rock bottom.
That's below living on mac and cheese or ramen noodles.
Oh, that was happening too.
Okay.
But, you know, when you can't afford $2 for toothpaste, there's some stuff going on. No, I mean, not bad stuff. I'm a huge advocate of, especially when you're young.
I'm going to buy you like a Costco-sized pack of toothpaste and put it on your desk.
See how big.
It's a nice little reminder.
See how lucky
you are.
How big Jill's heart is. She just like, I could tell looking across in the studio when I said that. She's just looking at me like with little puppy eyes, like, oh, I'm going to come and hug you.
Yeah.
You know, the mom came out in you.
I'm going to make sure you never want for toothpaste again.
That's the nicest, Jill. That's the nicest, most endearing quality there ever was for anybody.
A little bit selfish because I'd like you to brush your teeth. So the whole office. I'm going to go around and take a collection. We're all going to pitch in for your toothpaste. Just kidding.
I'm trying to give you like a heartfelt compliment. Thank you. And you're just like, brush your freaking teeth.
Thank you very much. That was very sweet.
Join us in another episode where Jill and I discuss your all-important success in real estate investment, maybe your personal finances, and in life. You're killing me with this toothpaste thing.
I've never heard you say that.
Yeah, it's not a pity thing. It's just, you know, hey, those are my choices. We can all go get jobs tomorrow. I chose to do that. And I, you know, it wasn't recently.
Was it like a self-induced call to action or something?
No, it was during college. And, you know, that you're supposed to go through that stuff. It's called Showing Up. I have this whole a book that's half written about stuff. Okay. It's advice for young people that I wish I would have gotten. That's the whole thing. You got to show up for certain stuff. And I think the worst thing you can do, absolute worst thing you can do, is buy a house and start getting all kinds of personal debt and all kinds of stuff. You know, and I give it all examples in there. It's all about stuff like that. Like, you need to just if you're a guy, especially live in a house with 10 guys where it costs you $100 a month for everything, never spend any time there, you know, and work your butt off at some kind of company or whatever you're really interested in, because you don't have any debt.
Right.
And you have nothing to lose.
Exactly.
You know, buying a car that you can't afford is the fastest way, or a house or something is the fastest way to wreck your life.
It's true.
Among other things.
You start going down that path and then it just snowballs.
Or getting into a relationship. With an interpersonal relationship with somebody who's bad for you, who says you should just get a job. If you're with a person who says this right now, you should just get a job, you need to ask yourself some serious questions.
That's true.
You know, you and I have never been anything but supportive.
Right.
I don't care how cockamamie the scheme is.
That's true. That's very true. That's a good point. We've never told each other that's not going to work.
Right.
You know, or what are you thinking? You know,
right.
Go get that. Go to Dodge and do the hammer, whatever.
Go to Dodge. Get out of Dodge. Go get a union job in Detroit. And right. Screw the hole into this thing.
Exactly. We would never tell each other that.
We're going to get so many union emails now. I just got to stop saying that. There's nothing wrong with union jobs. They're awesome. Let's go buy some property, some union property.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
Landacademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.